All right, everybody. It's time for the RGH podcast. We have some of the juicier topics. I mean, we always have juicy topics, but we got really juicy topics this time. Streamlabs caught stealing. Halo launches early on Monday. Activision, the scandal continues, and it gets worse. It just gets worse.
If you can believe that.
Yeah. Grand Theft Auto breaks records in a bad way. And then Battlefield Early Access is in full swing, and I believe Friday is the official launch, right? It was like 1 week early or something like that, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so hopefully everyone's recording their audio. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I am.
Good.
I am. I just started.
So let's jump on with Halo.
Well, hold on. Before we jump on with that.
Wait, what?
I got to really quickly say, all right? I told my Discord, I pinged my Discord, I said, we're streaming, Real Gamer Hour stream right now. If you guys join, I'll shout you out. Another person with no life just said that. Vladimir, we got Anthony, Joshua, woo! We got the people from the Discord. I just want to say shout out to them because you guys and everyone else who shows up here, especially the people who like show up when we just start, we're doing the countdown. You guys are the best. You guys keep us rolling, baby.
Very nice. We
never disappoint with those juicy topics, because holy crap.
That is true. Thank you, Discordians. Thank you, everyone from Twitter and people that follow the channel. A couple days ago, there was a rumor going around that there was some kind of back-end, I don't know what to call it. Not theory crafting. Back, what's it called?
Rumors.
Well, it wasn't rumors. It was in the API. It was data mined. Yeah. There we go. There it goes. It was data mined.
Discord
that
gang.
The release
Dude,
date for Halo Infinite
was watching
changed.
Paul Tassi. Poor Paul Tassi, bro.
Yeah.
This guy was having Paul Tassi was having a mental breakdown on Twitter, being like, "There's no way it randomly launches. I randomly launch Halo with no warning on the 15th." That he's like, "These are BS." Like,
and then he was
claims.
Like, "Hold on."
And then more claims, and he's like, well, and he's like, change his mind, they change his mind back, and he's like, I don't know, and then it like didn't come out right away, and I saw your Tash tweet, your tweet, Tash, and you were like, I got jebaited, this is bullshit, I wanted to be playing Halo
Day,
as soon
well.
As you tweet that, like 5 minutes later, it comes out, and you're like, ah!
Yeah, I know, and I was like, this aged like milk on the sun. So that was kind of cool, they dropped it early. It had like 250,000 people. Actually, I'm going to check the Steam charts right now, because this morning it was at like 90,000. So it was like less than half of what yesterday was around the same time. But I don't know about
it's
that.
It's a work day.
Exactly.
It's a weekday.
And it also dropped like on the Monday. Okay, they're back up to 212,000 people. So I mean, that's definitely good. 212,000 playing as of 7 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Nothing to
that's
sneeze
huge.
At. Yeah, it's good. And
That's a lot of freaking people.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
What's the PlayStation population look like right now, though?
Not sure. I don't know how to check that myself.
So what must have happened
that's
is
a
that...
Joke.
Sorry. I was thinking Xbox. I thought you meant console.
No.
Oh, wait. Yeah, so PlayStation can't get it. It's only PC and Xbox, right?
Yeah.
Or no. Right?
Yeah, it's not on PlayStation.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, of course, dude. What am I thinking? Of course Halo's not on freaking PlayStation.
So maybe those numbers are even better. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder how many people on Xbox are playing it. Probably a lot, you know?
Oh, I'm sure.
You know what?
They had some issues with the crossplay this week, which is to be expected.
You know why this happened, right? They looked at the Destiny 2 30th Anniversary Edition, and they're like, we can't compete. They're like, it comes out December 7th. We're supposed to come out December 8th. They're like, release the MP, because Rick Kakis is going to be making videos, and no one's going to be playing our game. They're all going to be watching. Just because it takes so long to get through the intro, there's no way they'll have time to play our
game.
That's what they said, baby.
That's it.
I don't know about that one.
They
wanted to get
some early takes.
Game rewards.
Yeah, I think they wanted it to be a part of the game, the Xbox, you know, big thing event they had for Xbox that day, tied into that. It was good timing. I think it worked out pretty well. But what's the status of the game so far? I've heard, okay, so I know Mike, you've been grinding it. I've got about 10 hours into the Halo multiplayer so far.
I got 0 hours.
There's no campaign yet.
I don't care.
There's no campaign. Yeah, I hear you. There's no campaign yet, right? There is there's a big issue with progression right now. The battle pass is all like challenge based progression. You don't just play and level up. There is no just play and level up. That doesn't happen. You have to like, oh, I have to get 3 BR kills. I have to capture 3 flags. I have to get a kill with a needler. I have to, you know what I mean? It's just like a list of things that you have to do if you want to see your level go up. And the free-to-play battle pass doesn't really, like, honestly give you any real customization options that are meaningful at all until you get, like, up in the, well, like, it's probably around, like, rank 20 on the battle pass. Now, after 10 hours invested, I'm at rank 3, baby.
I'm level 2 because I haven't done any of the side quests. Like, I haven't done big team battle. I've only played ranked.
Yeah, that's right.
And so the progression they came out today saying, hey, we're adjusting this, and now we're going to add more just from playtime. You will get some, like, they're going to do, like, the just play games to get rewards, which is cool. They're adjusting it already, but...
But that's how it should be. Like, in Call of Duty, the Battle Pass is purely game time. And it is the same in Destiny as well. I don't mind some challenges. I think people do get really upset by that because it's like... But it often is the people who, like, you know, only use one gun. It's like if you said in Call of Duty, try not to use the STG, the sweaty tryhard gamer rifle, for like one game, people would like crumble and panic and have a panic attack. It's like in Destiny, if you're like, all right, don't use Shattered Eye for 3 games. Ah! You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't mind making people switch it up, but that should give you faster progression, not the only progression. Because it's leveling up in Call of Duty. You can go and use an off-meta gun, and you're going to get a crap ton of experience for leveling that up. Right, but you can just stick with the gun you want to use and still level up slower, but you still make progress. I feel like that's the best approach.
Absolutely. That's the way Apex does it too. Their battle passes, you play, you rank up. You just for playing the game, you're gonna rank up. But you can do it faster, because if you do 10 matches on Gibraltar, you're gonna get a huge chunk for that week. You know what I mean? So like, you can experiment with different characters and different guns you don't typically use to get big rewards, but you're always going to be making progress. So it was, I will say that, to their credit, they did say, listen, we're going to have at least some XP progress by the end of the week. We'll make that happen. But to really transform their progression system is probably going to take, you're looking at probably realistically, maybe a couple of months of work to get something like that rolling.
Yeah. Now, it's just kind of like, No one really, like, you know, remember when everyone got super mad at Bungie and Destiny when it was like, get, you know, 5 rocket launcher kills or something for Iron Banner? And people were like, this is so toxic because, like, everyone just camps the heavy the whole game and, like, your teammate will take it without you and it's just, like, so toxic and so annoying. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I feel like it's the same with Halo, especially since it's, like, pickups, like, get snipe rifle kills. It's like, oh, okay, I'll just go get the snipe rifle.
Yeah.
You know, oh, wait, the guys who've, like, memorized the picture millisecond perfect route to the sniper are going to get there before me. You know
That's
what I mean?
Right. And for me, like, one of my weeklies in Halo was to be the person that actually physically planted the enemy flag in your base 3 times.
That's
so
insane.
I have to queue up and just hope that it's CTF. I have to hope that the lobby is well balanced and that I stand a chance. I have to hope that I'm actually the guy that gets the flag and brings it back to the base and plants it. I can't play defense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a nightmare.
Brutal. Again, nothing wrong with these challenges if they simply award bonus XP, but the fact that they're like, we're the only progression is just savage.
Right. I've been like sweating it out and playing a whole bunch, and I'm like, I'm going to quit already. Which is,
Well,
and like,
let people know your rank before they start crapping on you, like, oh, you probably
suck.
Onyx. What's your rank?
I'm Onyx, like, 15, I think is what my rank is. And so the issue here is I'm playing it, and it kind of feels like Halo 5. Like, it doesn't really feel that different. I think the maps are flipping awful. Like, they're just so bad to me. They're so boring.
There's that one in comp in the ranked playlist that's like the U-shaped one. Well, it's in all the 4v4s, I think. It's like U-shaped. I don't know if you know that one off the top of your head. It's like, it's all dark and gray, like Oh, yeah. Indoors, U-shaped. That one sucks, dude. I hated that one. Well,
and like, the thing is the more I play it, the more I'm starting to realize the issues. So, like, the grenade area of effect is massive, and everyone is just spamming grenades. Like, they're just hucking. I sometimes feel like I'm throwing 5 grenades, even though you can only have 2. But it's just like, you throw a couple, you run over a body, pick up a couple more, throw a couple more.
So grab 2 more off the wall. Yes. I mean, it is grenade simulator.
There has to be some sort of ping issue. Like people getting killed around corners. I'm sliding around a corner. I'm like, whoo, thank God I got away. And then all of a sudden, killed. And I'm like, no, that's impossible. I'm looking back at that. Yeah. I'm like, there's no way. So that's been really frustrating. But even that, nothing competes to the spawning system. And I feel like I'm a crazy person. Because everyone's like, I don't really notice that. And I don't know if it's because I play a lot of shooter games. But if my team is in one corner with the oddball protecting it, you would think that the other team would spawn away from us in the distance. There's people spawning right around the corner sometimes because I think they're almost trying to mimic the Call of Duty, get into a fight instantly.
Yep.
And on the maps, they're so small that a lot of the times when you're spawning, you can see someone almost off spawn, and they might be decently far away, but everyone spawns with a battle rifle, with a scope.
You see, Tash, they were so determined to take on Call of Duty, they copied their absolute dog shit spawn system, because Vanguard is the same way. It's like, I've spawned looking at someone's back, and I see the little red tag at the top of my screen, I'm like, oh my god, I start shooting, I get a kill. It's like, dude, like, I should never spawn there. And you look at the map, and like, your team, it's like, okay, so my... Let's say this is the map, my camera. The enemy team's here. Your team is, like, here pushing them. You'd think the enemy team would spawn, like, here, somewhere else. They spawn, like, over here, or, like, they mix
it's
and
like
match,
a flank.
Like, in the
it's
middle
like a
behind you.
Yeah.
It's, like, you can't flank you. It's, like, all just
map
chaos.
Map control is a problem.
Because someone did a study, and they're, like, listen, we hook someone up, basically. We hook someone up and measure their dopamine levels. And every time they got a kill, it went up. So we want them to get a kill or get killed in like 1 second of spawning. That's basically what Call of Duty does. Like, there's no logic to it. It's just chaos.
Yeah. And it feels like back in the Halo 3 day, Halo 2 day, you'd kill someone. They'd be dead. But you also know, okay, they're going to spawn approximately over there. And then you can defend. And you can defend effectively. And the team needs to hold on. It's like, all right, everyone spawn up and we'll push together. And good teams would just hold off. And they'd get those kills and they would keep defending. And it was like, that's how you dictated it being a good team. Now it is just rapid fire. People are coming from every angle. You don't know where the hell they're going to be. And I had a string where I was like, watch this. I'm going to leave this room. I'm going to go back into it and someone will have spawned in that room. And it happened like every single time. And I'm like, even though I'm not in that room, the proximity is so close. And where my team is, they should never spawn there, logically.
Yeah. You don't feel rewarded for winning your last gunfight. Because typically in Halo, when you win your last gunfight, you're like, okay, now I have area control.
Yeah.
But that's getting ripped away from you immediately.
It is the worst spawning I've ever seen. And then the maps are pretty boring. And it's just like, did we seriously wait this long for Halo Infinite to be super simple? Or like super similar to Halo 5? And
people
like,
love it though.
People
I feel
are
like
you're
in the minority.
Give them a week. I don't think it's gonna last. I don't. And here's the thing. Here's the thing is like, I think Halo is innately gonna have trouble keeping people playing long term because it is really sweaty. And like, there's nothing wrong with having a super sweaty competitive game, I don't think. And if people are in their proper ranks and playing people of their ranks, like, I don't think it's too big of an issue. But I feel like Halo breeds frustration in bad players. And back in the day, they'd be like, well, okay, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to improve and I'm going to get better. But I feel like everyone is such a snowflake now in PvP games. It's like, well, I'm losing. It's too tough. These guys are just farming bad lobbies. Do you know what I mean? And they just give up. They don't try to improve. And so I think that they're going to lose a gunfight to me. They're going to lose a gunfight to me 4 or 5 times in a row. And they're going to be like, impossible game, it's dumb.
Even a Genshin player can outplay me. This game
I will say
trash.
yeah I will say though, in fairness, Tash, before when you got frustrated with MP, you're like, f this game, this is so annoying, you go play Forge and you'd go get your friends, you could play Duck Hunt, you'd cool down, and you're still playing the game. You have nothing to do other than MP, and then you have a single player campaign that's coming out. And I don't know if that's like the solution. I feel like it needs Halo. You're right. Halo's super competitive. That side had Forge mode. Forge mode is the opposite. It's the most casual, friendly thing possible. It's just fun with your buds, right? Mm-hmm. So like that's what it needs. So if you can escape the competitiveness, but like it's not out. So that's the problem with that.
The only thing
I don't hate
say...
the game. I want to make sure I don't hate the game. I want to make sure that that's known. I did have a lot of fun. I've got, like I said, about 10 hours into Halo, and I did have a good time. I do have some nitpicky things with it, but the game is really, it's really predictable and consistent. And if you love that atmosphere, then hey, Halo fans are probably going to adore this game. But arena shooters, to me, they're pretty repetitive at this point. You know, every time I load into a match, I know exactly everybody's got the same guns. I know where the guns are going to spawn, all that stuff. It's all predictable and consistent. But right now, I kind of like games that have a little bit more unpredictability.
Yeah.
So the every match feels a little bit different. But, Mike, I'm sorry to cut you off. You're about to say something.
Oh, it's okay. And, like, same. Like, I do like a lot about the game. Like, getting the sniper and popping off, super satisfying. Like, winning a duel, like, really satisfying. But I'm seeing these other issues that I know might not get fixed in any sort of timely fashion, and so it's really frustrating to me.
Yeah, like, how are they going to redo the spawn system?
Yeah.
They're not.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. And, I mean, we were talking about hitching earlier. That has been a problem for me. Like, the longer I play, there's some hitching. But Ryan was saying there's a way to fix it, so I'm going to try that. That might change things for me, because losing a duel because your screen goes, and like, freezes for a second, oh,
yeah,
I almost punched my monitor.
Issues. I was having the same issues, and I did some research on it. It was all over the Reddit for Halo Infinite right now. It's probably still one of the more upvoted posts there. But basically what players were finding is that there's a texture pack in the PC version of the game. It's like a 7.3 gig texture pack, and it's just part of the regular install. But if you go into your Steam files and you uninstall that texture pack... I don't know what it is about those textures that it's trying to render out, but it's taking so much information for it to process in those rapid scenarios that that's where the hitching's come from.
Gotcha.
So people are just uninstalling. So if you're having the same issues, you're out there, you're a listener, and you're having those same issues, look into that. I couldn't tell you the name of the file off the top of my head, but I followed
the
instructions,
the
uninstalled
textures.
It, and it's a lot better.
It's all the textures to render the like flaming helmets and stuff that like come in the level 100 of Battle Pass.
I will say the flame on the shoulders at the end of the battle pass looks, and this is not me just being a hater, okay? I had fun with the game. It looks horrible. It looks like some freaking Nintendo 64 fire. It's really bad.
I'm seeing it.
Fire.png, and they just like put it on. Fire.gif, and they
turn
it out and put
well,
it on.
In Halo Reach, you had like the pestilence effect. You had the tempest effect, which is the lightning storm and clouds around you. That stuff looked way better in Reach than the fire does on a. I've got the best PC hardware money can buy, and that flame looks horrible. It looks
That's
way
so
worse
funny.
Than Reach.
It's
though.
Like some. It's like some Oblivion flames. Like original launch. No, it's worse than that. It's Morrowind. Anyways, let's move on to Streamlabs, because they just got caught stealing.
Oh my god, dude.
Again. Truly again, because now everyone is coming out with their own stories about Streamlabs saying, yeah, they stole our idea, or they did this, or they stepped on our toes. And so one of the, you know, the initial ones was with OBS. OBS, Open Broadcast Software, it is an open source thing. People can use OBS to create their own stuff. It is like a free to use software, and Streamlabs, they're like, hey, do you know what? Let's make our own OBS system, and we'll use their technology and stuff. And they did it.
And their name.
But they're like, yeah, let's call it Streamlabs OBS, because it's our version. And they reached out to OBS, and they're like, hey, can we just call it Streamlabs OBS?
They said, we prefer you didn't.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Well,
and they're like,
I'm gonna stop. I gotta stop you, because like, the way this unfolded is important. So what first actually happened was that Lightstream.
Yeah.
Right? And I think they're another like open like streaming software, kind of like OBS.
Yeah.
Their own thing, Lightstream. You can stream through them. Sorry, I'm not too familiar with them, but Lightstream is this streaming company. They all got this rolling because someone, I think that works there, tweeted out, hey, like, can I borrow your homework? Sure, just like... don't make it obvious. And it's like, okay, I won't. And showed side by side Lightstream's website and Streamlabs OBS website. Guys, identical. Like, they basically changed a couple of words. Basically, like, it would say, like, upgrade your stream for Xbox, PlayStation, and PC. And then they would say, upgrade your stream for Xbox and PC, because I didn't have PC. It was literally identical, same layout. They even plagiarized the user reviews. They took the same word-for-word user reviews and just changed the names of the users. Yeah. And so one of the Lightstream employees was like, dude, they faked these user reviews. I remember because I'm the guy who reached out and got these user reviews to use on our website. So, like, yeah, no way this random, you know, Chris L is saying the literal word-for-word exact same thing as, like, the guy I reached out to, like, BS, right?
So lazy.
So they tweet out there, that started to gain momentum, and then what Tash had happened. So OBS retweeted that tweet showing them stealing Lightstream stuff and retweeted it and said what you said. Hey, they reached out to us about using OBS. We said no. They ignored us, and then they filed a trademark for OBS.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the
frick? It was just a huge middle finger to people who are literally making an open source software for people to use that's like made by gamers for gamers. Hey, we're just trying to help out. You know, it's like, yeah, step on that person.
But you guys are being too tough on them. They said it was only a placeholder.
Yeah, so their excuse to Lightstream specifically was like, oh, we didn't copy you word for word. This was a placeholder and it wasn't meant to go live. And everyone's like, oh, sure. But like, I saw that and I was like, wait a minute. You're literally admitting to steal, because if your placeholder is your competitor's exact website,
yeah,
and then you just didn't change it enough, you're saying, even if they're right, that means they started with Lightstream's website exactly, basically, and just didn't change it enough before they put it out, and now are embarrassed. It's like, you idiots, like, didn't help anyone, and they can roast it. Like, their announcement tweet for Streamlabs OBS had, like, 500 retweets. The tweet from OBS, actual OBS, calling them out, has, last time I checked, 20,000 retweets. Like,
that's crazy.
They Streamlabs is getting crapped on. So they came out with a statement and was like, we're going to change the name of OBS. We're not going to call ourselves OBS anymore. And that's it. Everyone's like, that's the least you can do.
Well, and it's funny because, like you said, everyone was coming out with their own stories. There's some really interesting ones out there. One of them that got a lot of traction was somebody who, it's a verified Twitter user. They used to work at Twitch. I don't know where they work at now, but they screenshotted some of their application process correspondence with Streamlabs. Said, I had applied for a job at Streamlabs before I was where I am now, and I thought this was weird and interesting. They wanted me to come, and he screenshotted the emails. So they wanted me to compile a list of the 100 top streamers on Twitch at the time and what made them unique. Like, that's a lot of work for an applicant. And on top of that, they wanted me to basically write an essay on the three biggest competitors to Streamlabs and what their features are and why those features might be a threat to Streamlabs. Like, what is it about that makes them competitive to us? You know what I mean? Like, that's a real freaking weird
thing to have in an application. Via applicants. They're not going to hire anyone. They're just getting them to do their market research for
them. That's right. I need you to do a bunch of work for me. I think if you're looking for that one specifically, I'm pretty sure Tassie retweeted that one because he commented on it too. He was like, yeah, I'm hiring someone to do some work for you. I just need you to write 50 articles in my style, please.
Well, another thing that they did apparently is they have like Streamlabs Premium. And so Streamlabs, what they originally started, correct me if I'm wrong, is like a donation service. You would donate through Streamlabs and it would like, if I wanted to donate to you, TV, it would be like kind of through Streamlabs and you would get my $5 or whatever, right?
Right.
So what they did is they had like a Streamlabs Premium. So when I was trying to donate my $5 to RGH, the best gaming podcast out there, I would donate my $5 through Streamlabs. And because I would have to kind of enter my credit card information, apparently they mistakenly signed a bunch of people who made donations up for Streamlabs Premium, so they started charging them $5 a month, just hoping you wouldn't notice a $5 charge.
That's sus.
Canceling that, by the way, canceling that is not in your Streamlabs account settings. They hide it in like a weird like donations tab. It's in the donations tab. Like, so even if you're like trying to figure out like, I'm getting sure, how do I get rid of it? It's like, you can't find it.
Dude. That's how you know it's a bad. If you're like hiding the like cancel my subscription thing, you're like not a good company, right?
Yeah, even the Wenny in chat mentioned this. Even Edward Snowden was roasting Streamlabs. Yeah, he's like, Snowden.
Yeah, I saw that. Ridiculous. Well, and then people are compiling all the things, and it's just like a feature that they created, and then Streamlabs all of a sudden comes out with it, and it's like, hey, we did this. Like, there's combo clips where you take a Twitch clip and it turns it into a TikTok. They stole that feature. They've got, like, they stole, like, Elgato Stream Deck, and they essentially did the same thing on your phone.
Elgato, the official Elgato account tweeted that out. They're like, first, the feel. Like, so it's like, yeah, we know the feel, or first time, or something like that, and, like, showed them ripping them off.
Yeah, so it's a precedent now. Like, they've done it many, many, many times, and they're losing partnered streamers. They have a bunch of partnered streamers. I think Philly DeFranco did a story on it, and, like, I think Pokimane was one of them, and who else was it? I have to find
Mike
it.
Mike is 6'2". Like, TV
Hassan, Pokimane, a bunch of other really big streamers that are partnered. Admiral Baru, they're all like, all right, I'm done with Streamlabs. I'm canceling my partnership with them, and we're going to move somewhere else. So they're, you know, it's hitting them in the wallet now, but their reputation is definitely tarnished.
Well, who's going to use Streamlabs now? Like, if you're just going to look bad, and then people in the chat are going to be like, did you hear about Streamlabs? Did you hear about Streamlabs every day? Right. So
if you're getting if you're getting tips through Streamlabs, doing anything through Streamlabs, it's gonna.
What's the best Streamlabs like competitor? Like, if I was gonna start streaming, I didn't want to use Streamlabs.
Just OBS.
I just use OBS Studio.
No, but like for doing like donations, and I guess it's all through YouTube now. If you stream on YouTube,
yeah, you can do Stream Elements. There's like a bunch you could do
now. If I donate, I just donate through. If I stream on YouTube, I don't have to worry about any of that stuff, right?
Well, the only issue is, like, if you don't donate and do, like, a super chat through YouTube, they take a cut. So a donation through Streamlabs or Stream Elements or something like that, you're not getting a big cut taken off of it, like 30%. It's like bits on Twitch is technically a donation, but you lose 30%. So
right here, Caleb. Yo, thanks for joining.
Like, where's my shout-out? Do you guys want to hit anything else on Streamlabs or move on to Activision?
Dude, it's just... The Streamlabs thing is just so wild. It's like, way to ruin your brand image for like a cheap knockoff. It's like, they didn't like do, as far as I can tell, like, they didn't provide anything unique. Like, if they had like a sweet new feature that like no one else had, fine. If you innovate a bit, fine. Where they didn't.
Right. Yep. And how long, like, have they been getting away with it before, you know, before they got caught? Or it's like, people said something, it just didn't get exposed.
It's kind of like, reminds me of the Avengers thing, where it's like, hey guys, let's just ruin our brand image real quick. It's like, why, dude? Like, they could have just stopped now, improved some features, done some stuff, just chilled. But they got greedy, and now it's backfiring them.
Yeah.
Talking about backfiring, this week has been an utter crap show for Activision. Bobby Kotick, baby. Kotick in trouble.
Oof. Yeah.
Well, but is he though? Is he though? Yeah. So, I mean, they said he literally made threats that he could have his assistant killed if she exposed some of the stuff that was going on.
Yeah, and he said to multiple women, "I will ruin your career." So it's like, oh,
probably could, dude. I mean, like,
you're the CEO of a massive company. You probably can ruin my career, or did, and like. There was like one of the other, not CEOs, but like one of the other like leads. She was getting less pay than the other guy. And then when she was like, "Well, can I get equal pay?" He was one of the people that's like, "No," and shut it down. he's like "No." And like the craziest thing
was, after she resigned, they offered it.
They offered
her. She's like, "No."
Yeah. Exactly. It's just crazy. And the thing is ever since all this came out, he's been like, oh, we'll do something to fix this. Like, we'll do something to fix it. And it's like,
no one cares about fixing Activision more than me, Bobby Kotick.
Like, I would have fixed everything so I could stay the CEO and make $100 million.
I gave myself $100 million when everyone was harassing my employees. Like, but I really care about them.
But I care.
That's his voice, by the way. That's exactly what he sounds like.
Those are actually recordings of him.
But it's like, okay. Not only are you paying yourself crazy amounts, but you're one of the people that's the problem, saying you're going to end people's careers and get them killed. And so it's like, do we have any faith that you're the one that wants this changed when it's coming from the top? It's coming from you. Yeah. And so now everyone's like, well, you need to resign, obviously, because you just did it too. You're part of it. So how can we trust you? But there's a leak going on from Activision. They've had all hands on deck meetings, everyone. There's a bunch of board members and people defending him, saying, no, like, let's keep him, let's defend him. So it's like, obviously the culture there is like, protect our boy. Like, protect our boy. We can't get him exposed and all this stuff.
You know why?
Because he's going to pay him.
Well, part of the story was that he actively protected one of the board members who sexually assaulted one of the employees. And Kotick literally protected him, protected his job, protected his reputation, made threats to keep this guy in the clear. Mm-hmm. So who? Of course the board members are going to be like, yeah, we stand with this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Dude. Right.
And it's like, wild. If you care so much, people don't trust you. So if you do care that much, then the reasonable thing is to step down. Because it's like, do you know what? Obviously, they don't have faith in me. And I want this to change, so because I care so much, I will step down. But he's like, no, I care about my bank too much. I care about my money. I'm gonna stay in the company, resented, and put out half-assed changes. So this really, I mean, I feel like it's escalated 6 or 7 times. It's like, oh, new news. Oh, new news. Oh, it's escalated. Oh, now they're getting investigated. Oh, now it turns out the CEO's doing it too. It is honestly wild. And I mean, they just, was that last episode or 2 episodes ago, we talked about, they came out with a statement saying Overwatch is delayed. It's way out there.
Yeah.
Well, Diablo is nowhere near launching, so don't even think about it. Well, now what? No one's even working on these games. Well, I bet you.
So in the chat was like, apparently our friend, our boy Bobby was in Epstein's flight log. What a surprise. What a shock. I am so surprised by this revelation. I cannot believe it. But, like, come on, dude. The whole thing is just absolutely wild, man. Like, I mean, obviously, I don't know if that's true. Some of the chat said it. But, dude, it's like, you know what would be a savage move? If EA said, we stand like with the employees, we want to eliminate harassment, whatever, we will hire any Activision like any high up like Activision employees that want to leave, you have a job here. Like, it might cost them a lot of money, but it's like, guess what, they're gonna snipe so much talent.
Some genuine talent. They got to earn some rep. Oh, yeah.
Right? Well, like, what a power move that would be. Activision, will hire you over at EA.
Like, they'll snipe some talent, but or are they sniping all the harassers and jocks that have been promoted because they're dudes by boys?
Yeah, I guess.
You know?
I guess, but it's more like if you want to leave the company, we have a true zero tolerance policy. You're safe here at EA. Come work for us, right?
You want to talk, like, power moves?
That would be a power move.
You want to talk power moves? Jim Ryan, CEO, PlayStation, tweeted out today his disgust with this whole situation with Bobby Kotick. You want to talk power plays? What if Jim Ryan says,
we're not doing Activision games?
Activision games are not on our platform. Sorry, until you make changes, you're done here. We don't need your money. Right? We would like it, but we don't need it. Make some changes.
Insane, but bro. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen.
How nuts would that be?
Do it. Put your money where your mouth is. Do it.
I'd flip.
I, I don't, like, the thing is, Jim Ryan, okay, good thing he tweeted something out, but he's also probably getting some bonus money, if you know what I mean. He, like, I'm sure this guy doesn't want to hurt the bottom line either, because that would also, like, obviously not being able to play the new Call of Duty would hurt PlayStation, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, they'd have to take that hit. And like...
And you also have, you do have a lot of, especially it sounds like Blizzard was more the sus end of things. Like, you have a lot of Activision employees that are just normal employees. Like, you have a lot of guys who worked on, like, Call of Duty that are like, I never harass anyone. I'm code the gun recoil. Like, what do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, so if you and do then
they get
like,
hurt.
Yeah, if you, like, pull Call of Duty away from PlayStation, yeah, like, they're the ones that, like, often they tie employee bonuses to, like, game performance, so, like, they're the ones who might get hurt, which sucks, right? Like, but that's how it's often set up, is, like, the people that get hurt are the low-down employees, not the up-top guys.
It's unfortunate. Yeah,
they still get bailed out with millions of dollars, or they're already so rich that it's like, well, if I don't have my job, I could have retired 50 years ago. Yeah,
that's exactly. The thing. That's the thing. If Kotick has to step down, he's fine. Is he really gonna... He's fine.
This is why it's so wild. Like, dude, remember when Papa John said something racist over the phone or something like that? They're like, see ya, Papa John. That's actual Papa John. And they're like, get out of here, right?
Shaq is now the face of Papa John's.
Right? Like, they're just like, see ya. I feel like getting rid of your CEO is a pretty common thing to do. It's like, oh, you're screwing up. Get out. So,
why are they defending him then, you know?
Dude,
like,
it's
that
so,
is
right?
So weird.
Especially, like, you'd think to save face, to preserve his own reputation, he would say, you know what? I handled things wrong. You guys are right. I'm going to step down and then promote, like, someone up to the CEO. Like, maybe
Jim
one of the, maybe,
Finger
maybe,
Banger.
Yeah, exactly. Like, maybe one, maybe, like, a woman CEO, right? Promote her up. Step down. Then he retires, probably makes a little retirement bonus of like $20 million. And then he goes and sits on a board somewhere, probably sits back on the Activision board in a couple of years when things have cooled down, and just is a multi-millionaire for the rest of his life. Right? So that's what usually happens. It's so bizarre to me that he's like, I'm staying. I'm staying, I'm the head of this ship. No one's going to get rid of me. And I've never seen anything like this. It's like if Papa John's like, nope, I'm not going anywhere, baby.
From my cold, dead hands.
Right? Like,
it's Papa John's pizza, and that's it. If Papa John's not here, the company folds.
Exactly. Like, how
and like,
wild is
come
that
on, Bobby. What are you bringing to the table that Activision Blizzard needs you? Like, hey, let's make another Call of Duty. It will make us some money.
That's the
like,
thing.
No
the,
shit,
the
man.
The thing he's bringing to the table is parties with alcohol and DJs that are actively telling the women to drink more so that the men can have more fun. Because this is literally one of the things that happened.
Yeah.
Someone said Kotick
is why
already...
Do you think...
Kotick is what? Already on the board on Coca-Cola. Like, of course, right? Like, all these rich people, all these CEOs are on the boards of each other's companies, right? Like,
brutal. I think we
but you're right,
hammered
TV.
That,
it's like,
though.
That's
what's
why
this
they don't
guy
want
doing?
Him to leave.
What?
That's
yeah,
what they don't
he sets
want
up the
leave.
Party. They're like, oh,
because
Kotick.
This is the culture that he precipitates. And that's the thing. The people that stand with him, it's this. It is literally this simple. The people that stand with him enjoy the culture that he brings. The culture that he precipitates. There's no way around it. It's either about the money or the culture. It's just that literally is the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And people want to stay in their positions of power that he probably gave them.
It's just interesting. Like, what will happen? Like, what will people stop? Apparently, Call of Duty sales have gone down by about 40%. Like, 40% less digital orders in the UK specifically, which is obviously a big number. Could just be that, you know, the hype for Vanguard wasn't quite the same, but, you know, that's
they have to do
a
free weekend this weekend. They're doing a free weekend trying to promote Vanguard and get people playing. They've never done that a week after launch. That's pretty bizarre.
Right? It's usually, they're usually trying to maybe do one before Christmas. Maybe it's because it launched a little bit later in November and they're trying to do one so that people like it and then want it for Christmas.
Maybe.
But It does like, seem a little soon.
And like a lot of the games that do the free weekend, it's because they partnered with like Pepsi. It's like you get a Pepsi, you get a code to play it for 10 hours or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't do that here. They're just saying like,
please,
the game's free.
Please play our game.
Yeah.
I am having fun in Call of Duty. I was playing it with Butt Wipe, like Band Wipe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Earlier before the podcast, and I was having good fun.
Dude. Yeah.
That's good.
So, let's talk about another studio that's absolutely demolishing.
This one's hilarious to me. I don't know why.
Honestly,
someone said this is worse than Cyberpunk. Like, this ruined brand image, like, more than Cyberpunk.
Google.
This is not even. Yeah. Go ahead,
Google.
Mike.
Google the GTA trilogy screenshots. Go on the Reddit. Just take a moment, chat, and just Google the worst Grand Theft Auto trilogy screenshots, and you're gonna go.
Oh my god!
You're gonna say no.
This is remastered?
How?
You're gonna say no, that's impossible. We're talking fingernails that are not even lined up on the hand. We're talking some of the worst remastering I've ever seen. It was like they're just adding polygons everywhere they can to be like, "There's more polygons now. It works."
Here's what's funny about it. Here's what's funny about it. There were third-party folks that made mods for the original games, right? That updated it to look really good. They were sued.
Of course.
For those mods. And then they released this remastered trilogy way worse than what those mods did. I'm talking like, the rain, when it's raining in the game, people are showing, I've seen the videos of it. They're like, I can't play the game when it's raining. I can't control the weather. And when it's raining, I literally cannot see anything.
Oh my god, dude.
I'm talking, you're driving down the road, and as you're swerving in and out of traffic, every movement you make flattens your car and makes it wider. So you end up in a 50-foot-wide pancake going down the street, and it just doesn't make any sense. It's hilarious.
I remember when it first came
horrible.
Out, I saw the graphics. I was like, this doesn't look very good.
They pulled
like,
it.
People were like, it's just a style, bro. It's like the same like Halo fanboys are like, it's just a style of the game.
Okay, I'm going to pull it up on my screen here just for the people that are in chat really quickly.
Go do it.
Does this arm, does that look normal? Does this look like that should be in the game? I don't think so. Look at these fingernails. What is going on with these fingernails, bro? This is one of the worst, like, updated games I've ever seen. It just looked better before. It looked better just in the original game because, yeah, it was a little pixely, but go look at Ocarina of Time. You know, like the original Ocarina of Time. It's like, I still know what's going on here. I'm going to play Ocarina of Time. I'm going to have a good time here. And I don't care if it's a little pixely. It's still a good game. But this one, they made it look horrendous.
God.
And
it's they like, pulled it. They pulled it from the store. It was so bad that for
it,
a couple
it had
of days,
a 0.3. It had a 0.3 rating on like for all the games. It's like a record. Every single game was below a 1 rating because there were so many zeros.
Yeah, and, on every platform, like PC, Xbox, everywhere it released, below one.
Yeah. It's like, probably the worst rated game, like AAA title ever.
And it's like, dude, what like a, it's like you have the chance to make like free money. Like everyone loves this franchise. Just do a half decent remake, put it out. As long as it works, you're going to make huge sales. And they're like, nope. Like, nope, screw it.
In the money you spent on the legal fees to sue the people who modded your game, Instead, take that money to license their work. And you're good. Instead, this is what I feel bad for the GTA community. They're really, really looking forward to this. And, I mean, you can imagine if there's a series out there that really is your passion, your love, your gaming anchor, right? The thing that you go back to. And they're like, we're going to remaster this stuff. Man, it's going to be great. You would be really jacked about that. And then when this is what drops, I can imagine their disappointment is immeasurable. I feel bad for them.
Well, Matt, I mean, I just said Ocarina of Time, but like we took the last 20 years and we remastered Ocarina of Time. And it's like they just make it uglier and they make it worse. How disappointed you'd be waiting forever? Because think of when some of these games launched. I mean, some of these games launched back when I was in grade 6. Grade 7, like we're talking ages ago.
people are making good remasters. Like, they just really, like, pretty, like, this year, or pretty recently, like, the Mass Effect remaster looks great. Everyone was super happy with that. Except for no multiplayer, please. Mass Effect the multiplayer, I swear to God. Like, I'll play that so much. But, like, there's been good remasters. It's like, why? Like, why? It's just like, someone, did no one quality assurance check this? Like, someone has got to play and be like, boss, my car's a pancake. Like, I don't know what to say. Ship it.
I also wonder, too, it's like, okay, I don't know how much they made from GTA. It can't be that much.
Billions.
The remaster?
Oh, the remaster?
No, I mean the remaster. It's like,
I think the franchise.
Because people would see it early on and they'd return it, or they'd see it early on and be like, oh, God, and not buy it. But,
yeah,
you know, maybe they made 50 million. I don't know. Maybe they made 100 million. I have no idea how many people bought that game. But does that cost them does that cost them brand image? Does it cost them respect from their user base? Does that cost them more? Because they seem to always do it. Like, every brand is just like, just put it out. Honestly, we know it's shit. Just put it out anyways. They never pull it. Why don't they ever pull it?
I don't know. Here's what I've noticed, though. There's a trend where if a game developer releases something that is clearly bad quality and they didn't care, one of the things that happens is that when people review their next title, even if their title is maybe genuinely a 9 out of 10, it'll get reviewed as a 7 out of 10 because people are taking what they know about the previous title and all of that frustration into how they perceive the next product.
Yeah.
They're way harder on it.
And this is guilty. I'm guilty of this too. Whenever I myself had games where the next title comes out and it's really good, but in my mind it's worse because I remember how bad the previous title was and I'm seeing it through that lens. That's how I'm perceiving this.
Do you think though that GTA 6, like, people will like lower their hype because of this?
No, they're going to make $1 billion.
Logically, you're like, yeah, like, they put out a garbage product. This should be a warning sign for the next game. But I know in 4 years, when they're finally done with GTA 6, the trailer's going to come out and people are going to lose their minds.
Here's the thing. If GTA 5 sucked, then yes, I would say it would affect the next one. But this is a remaster of an old game. You know what I mean?
It shows laziness, and here's
the
thing, though.
Most of the people who played GTA 5, I could be spitballing this. Don't quote me on this. I think it was around 60% of the people that played GTA 5 had never played a GTA title before in their lives.
Right.
So these people, they're not going to care about the remasters. They never played them to begin with, and they probably didn't buy them now.
Also, the game is playable. It's just ugly. So it's like, you know, technically you can still enjoy GTA 5. It's just very ugly. So, you know, can you be that mad? It's still a functioning game. Like, maybe some people who have never played them are just like, wow, this game is pretty ugly, but like, oh, it's an old game. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, it's an old game. This is what I expected. And they're still having fun. So maybe it doesn't hurt them that much. Weird. But it's just so weird because Gordon Ramsay,
Rockstar is a big company.
Yeah, exactly. And
do they not have developers good enough to make this a good remaster, or do they rush them that hard?
Yeah, look at the Tony Hawk remasters that Vicarious Vision did. They're beautiful. They're absolutely gorgeous.
That's because they outsource it to a really good studio,
right? But it's like Rockstar.
But God knows what
happened
to Rockstar.
Yeah, like, you can't find someone as good as Vicarious with all that money.
Sincerely, there are some great studios out there that are smaller studios that you can outsource this kind of work for, who will genuinely care about your game, genuinely care about the way that people receive it, and make a banger remaster.
So the comments are saying Rockstar actually had very little to do with it. They outsourced it to a company that makes mobile games, and they basically just ported the mobile game back over, and that's all they did.
Well, even so, Rockstar must have signed up. They must have signed off
Someone
on it.
Someone from Rockstar must have watched it. They didn't they just, not even touch it. Like,
it's not like it came onto their desk, and they're like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Ship it.
Yeah.
Someone had to look at that and say, this has the Rockstar seal of approval.
But, okay. As I was saying, Gordon Ramsay, you ever watch Gordon Ramsay? He's like, the lamb sauce. Where's the lamb sauce? Like this dish can't go out without that sauce on it. And like the beef Wellington's raw. Like he's not going to just send it and be like, you know what?
Lamb is fucking raw.
It's raw. Like he.
You can't send it to the customer.
No, he's slapping people with a baguette if they even consider it. But these game studios, they're just like, do you know what?
It's raw.
I know it's bad. I know it's terrible, and people are gonna hate us. But just ship it. like it's like, do you know what? We'll still make a couple dollars on there. There has to be a break-even point. Like I'm talking, if you look at CD Projekt Red, I guarantee that was not like it had to have been a negative for their brand image, for the future of their other games, the overall share price. They made money on Cyberpunk, but they took a goddamn killing, hundreds of millions of dollars in killing. Because people returned the game, people just flat out didn't buy the game. The market share dropped, you know,
PlayStation dropped
tens and tens, hundreds of millions of dollars in all of that stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. These companies need to start getting with it. And I feel like we have so many broken games that get launched and they just slide out. I've never seen a movie where they're like, oh, we forgot to do the green screening. Or like, oh, we forgot to put the music in the movie.
The last scene, the climax, or everything's
exactly.
finished.
Exactly.
It'll come later.
someone in the chat's like, oh, you guys really sound like video games suck all the time. They do! They freaking do! Name the last AAA game that launched with no problems. You can't! Modern Warfare 2, baby! The
Fortnite.
Greatest Call of Duty of all time! Or, you know what I mean? Like, it is very rare. It's like, people will say, oh, you're getting jaded, but it's like, Far Cry 6... bloated, unfun mess, right? From what I've heard. GTA Remaster, absolute disaster. We're going to talk about Battlefield. More bloom than a blooming onion from freaking Outback Steakhouse. Halo, like, has his issues. Terrible spawns. Call of Duty has his issues. It's like, I can't remember the last game. They just launched a solid game, and it all has to do with, like, Forza 5.
And we talked about it, and we hyped it up.
Last week, we were like, yo, it's
comes
the
out.
Golden child of gaming.
Someone said Ghost of Tsushima. Ghost of Tsushima, 100%. Solid, solid game. But it's rare. It's rare. Because most of these games get forced out before they're ready, and they're like, it's kind of this like mindset of like, we'll fix it after the fact. Even Destiny 2. I freaking love Destiny 2. I play it all the time. But the launch was terrible, and they had to fix it over time.
Do you know what game actually might be the one? Elden Ring. Have you seen the reviews of that game so far? Everyone is like, oh my god.
Loving it.
It's amazing. Like it's amazing. The just the little preview they got, the little demo, they're like, oh, it's like an entire Souls game just in this demo. And this is only part of the game. And so, you know, maybe Elden Ring is one of those ones that drops and everyone's like, masterpiece. It just feels too far and few.
And we've praised many a game on this podcast. You know, we tend to talk about whatever's happening in the week, and it's not our fault that there tends to be a lot of drama around bad releases.
Bobby Kotick's out, like, diddling
like,
his employees and stuff. We got to talk about
it. When's the last time we said anything bad about Apex? I've sung the praises of Back 4 Blood recently. We've talked about all the good things about smaller indie games like Among Us, shoot, what's the Viking one we were talking about? I don't know,
Ragnarok?
Like a year ago? Not Ragnarok. It's like the
Valheim.
Crafting.
Valheim.
Valheim, thank you. We were singing the praises of Valheim back in the day when that was first coming out. I mean, there's a lot of games out there that we praise. You know, we're also going to be honest.
Dog, bro. Like, there's a lot of games that just aren't good. And it's like, or they just have features that it shouldn't be. There's like, why does Halo spawns need to suck? Like, really? Like, how many Halo games has there been? How many maps have been made? How many first-person shooters are there? How do you still have bad spawns in 2021, right?
Yeah.
And basically, you have bad spawns, but they're thinking, well, people just want to be in the fight.
And like, I know they can't do the maps of, like, the old games all the time, but shouldn't it say something when in Halo Reach, Halo 4, Halo 5, the first day that it comes out, Pit remake, Guardian remake, all of the Forge maps are remakes of the favorite maps. because it's like symmetrical maps or just like the flow of some of these maps, and they can never emulate it. It's like game after game comes out and they just can't get good maps. And people always reminisce about old maps in Call of Duty, even like, oh, I remember Rust and Wetwork and all these different maps.
Afghan.
And it like just truly such good maps. And I don't know if that is nostalgia, but I truly believe, because I've been playing games for so long, I just think they're bad maps. They don't flow nicely. There's weird sight lines. There's angles that like, there's too many angles that can shoot you. And like, I don't know.
It's also I think it's also the design theory behind maps. They used to be, you'd understand flow very quickly, right? But then the good players would abuse the flow. So now I feel like maps are designed so that a garbage player can get a cheesy sightline and destroy you. Or like they have like the positions of power where someone goes up into the watchtower and gets a few easy kills. But it's like such an annoying position for everyone else on the map, right? Like just like how skill-based matchmaking and now retention-based matchmaking in Call of Duty has appeared to kind of like try to get the casual player as many kills as possible. You know, you have free kill streaks. In the last Call of Duty, your kill streaks didn't even reset when you died. You just kept earning points, right? So for free kill streaks. So it's all done in the goal of like trying to get bad players easy kills, right? Now, a lot of the times, even bad players, like, they're going to get killed by those easy things too, and they're not going to like it. Like, it's kind of like, not everything can be based on market research. And they swear these companies have just done some these base level research. Do you like the game when you're getting kills? And people are like, yep. And they're like, we got to make our entire game around this. And it's like,
yeah,
but it doesn't really practically pan out very much.
Now, Ryan has been playing quite a bit of Battlefield. It's been almost a week now that it's been out for the early access. And I played a little bit. I had a lot of crashing. I had a lot of issues.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And so I just haven't really tried again. And
I've had the game crash on me a single time. Yeah. And I've got about 20 hours into the early access. I'm playing, I will say this, I'm playing Battlefield 2042 on PS5. I have the best hardware money can buy on my PC. But some people are having issues with PC performance with this game. They do have a day one patch. It is technically still in early access. They have a day one patch that's going to go live on Friday when the game fully launches for everybody. So that's one thing to keep in mind. A lot of these things are already getting fleshed out and fixed before the majority of players get their hands on it. But I've been playing on PS5. There's been some hiccups along the way, some server issues here and there. But most of the concerns that the community has raised during early access are already things that are getting addressed with that day one patch. The rubber banding lag issues that have been happening, they literally came out and said, and they've talked about it on Reddit, talked about it on Twitter, they said, we found the source of the problem. It'll be fixed on Friday with the patch. People said Dozer is inactive. Like, you can't even play one of the specialists. Dozer's one of the specialists you can play. It's kind of like a hero shooter in that regard. One of the characters you can play as has been inactive during early access, and people were concerned about that. Like, we literally can't play one of the characters. He went live yesterday. They said, hey, we got him fixed, balanced, patch, ready to go. Now he's active in the game, which is great. So hitbox issues, hitboxes being off center, they said they found a fix. It's going to be patched on Friday. So the early access really has been a way for the gamers to give a lot of, especially the diehard Battlefield fans, to give some solid feedback about, here are the issues that we're seeing, and they're able to, they've been really open with their communication, DICE has been. They said this is really their love letter to Battlefield fans who have been with the franchise since, like, you know, Bad Company 2 and Battlefield 3, even the people who love Battlefield 4 that had a rocky launch but ended really strong. Like, those are the people they're really trying to hit with this game.
My issue with Battlefield, though, and I've played a decent amount of Battlefield 2, I feel like the thing that I really dislike about it is the bloom. There is so much weapon bloom, it's unreal. And, like, you probably maybe have seen some, like, TikToks on it and stuff, like, and little clips. And, like, you have, if this is the opponent, and I'm trying to shoot at him, my bullets are literally, like, pew, 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 like, just around him. And it's, like, even, like, mid-range engagements, there's a significant amount of bloom. Right? And Battlefield, especially now, 128 players, massive maps. If you have anything other than a sniper rifle, you can't hit people out to long ranges. Other than that first shot, you have to do one shot and then really let it center, then one shot and really let it center, but it just lets people run away. Even the DMRs, the single shot only, semi-auto only, long range DMRs are like doing that. It's like,
I will say this, tons of blue. as far as that concern goes, one of the things that the community has been giving feedback on the 2042 Reddit is that some of the attachments aren't doing what they say they're doing. So some attachments say this reduces recoil. It actually increases the recoil. It's kind of like the issues you were talking about with Warzone.
Where
some of the attachments don't do what they say they do. And in some cases, they actually do the opposite. They actually hurt the performance of the gun.
Which makes sense, because you put on something that reduces, increases the accuracy, and then you get even more bloom. And you're like, what the hell is going on?
And so they actually did say that they are aware of some of those issues, and that's something that's going to be addressed in the day one patch. Not all of them, but
literally everyone in the game is using the PP29, which is a submachine gun, because it's like the one gun that doesn't have bloom. So even though it does less damage, it has a more severe range drop off. It's the only freaking gun that can actually consistently hit a target at range. So you have your big assault rifle meant for these medium range engagements. No one's using them. Everyone's using an SMG.
I've already got over 300 kills on that gun.
The bullets actually go where you aim. Like, that's so crazy. It's like, they do less damage. It doesn't matter. Just because you actually can hit what you're aiming at, everyone's using it.
Who came up with the idea of bloom? Like, I can't even fathom Josh that Hamrick. Mechanic.
I kid. But Hamrick was on the team on Reach that did stand behind
Shroud
bloom.
Had a good clip about it. Like, he was complaining about bloom, and someone's like, well, I'd rather have that than someone lasering me from across the map. And Shroud's like, I mean, yeah, like, that's who it's for. That's who it's for is you, because you don't want to be killed from someone lasering you across the map. And for me, I think bloom is a terrible, brain-dead idea for brain-dead people. Here's the solution to that. Recoil. Like, yeah, recoil, if your gun does that, and now I have to readjust it, or I have to burst fire, right? That's totally fine. The issue is, like, if my reticle is dead on, if I'm aiming exactly right here on the head, and my round goes here, that's what I don't like. It's like, because that doesn't make any sense. Obviously, the bullet's going to go out of my barrel straight. It's not going to, like, veer off to the left. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. So that's the issue. It's the frustration of, like, it's hard to see, and you don't understand. You're, like, in a mid-range gunfight. There's a lot of things going on in battlefield. There's explosions, and you're holding the trigger, and your reticle is dead over someone, and you don't get the kill, and you're like, what did I do wrong?
I feel like PUBG did a pretty good job of the recoil back in the day. Of, like, if you tried to shoot with a P-419 or, like, the assault rifle, and you didn't recoil correct, like, it would kick, like, crazy. And so holding it steady was pretty tough. And it's like, I will prefer that any day of the week, just as you're saying. And it's like, okay, I can laser you across the map, but you can also laser me.
Exactly.
And so it's like... work on being able to aim at a target at a distance and keep on the target and beat me in a duel. And, like, I don't know. I just feel like randomizing your aim, it's one of the reasons why I'm having trouble with shooters long term, is, like, I just get so frustrated with little inconsistencies like that. It's been like that in Destiny since the start. You're fighting and you get flinched and all these different things. And I understand flinch here and there. But, like, if I'm, you know, my reticle looks like it's on your head, but the flinch sends it off, or the bloom.
Flinch,
just,
at
the
least
bolt
you're
hit.
Being shot. You're like, I got shot. I got flinched off target.
And you have to try to get back. Yeah, and you
cause
can
and
try
effect.
To get back.
The bloom is literally just, like, random. It is quite literally RNG, because sometimes it goes off to the side. Sometimes it goes right down the center. It's literally a random number generator. So that's the frustrating part. It's like, dude, my mid-range gunfights, if two people are shooting each other, it's just random. It's like, whoever wins that, it's like a roll of the dice. That's not how a shooter should be. And also, like, who's it going to affect? The good player has his reticle directly over your head. The bad player has his reticle right about here, right? So you're throwing the good player's aim off, and you're potentially throwing the bad player's aim on. Right. That's who... Bloom does nothing but benefit the worst players, which is like, okay, you know, you have a little bit of bloom, especially if it's really continuous fire, but, like, in Battlefield, it's like your first shot goes on target and then it's, like, crazy. It's like, we'll say this, have though, a little bit more consistency.
Some of the bloom is being, or some of the inaccuracy is being chalked up to bloom in Battlefield 2042 when some
maybe
of it
it's
actually
different on
isn't.
Console, dude.
Because, like, wait. Because, like I said, the clips I've seen... Like I'm saying, the hitboxes are off centered. So yeah, when you see a target, the hitbox is actually off kilter to the left right now. So what actually happens is some people are chalking up some of their misses to bloom, when what's actually happened is they're actually shooting on the left side of the target and it should hit, but since the hitbox is off to the, it's offset to the left, it's actually registering as a miss. I'm sorry, yeah, opposite way that if you're shooting
know,
at the right
I know
side.
What you're
of the
saying. 100%.
So that's part of it. And they have actually said, we know that. Oh, sorry, we're going to get on that. So for the full release, that'll be fixed.
Yeah.
So,
like TikToks and stuff of people, like they're shooting their machine gun and it's like a whole group of people coming up and it like zooms in. You can actually see, because in Battlefield they do have the bullet trajectory, so you can see the bullets going significantly off to the side. Mm-hmm. And you're like, this is like insane. The bloom is more severe in Battlefield than it is in Call of Duty. Call of Duty actually just introduced bloom this year as well. It's the accuracy mechanic. If you have less accuracy, you start to get bloom. And the players there are not happy. But at least in Battlefield, you can put on attachments to increase the accuracy. The stats actually work, like you said, TV, unlike Battlefield. So if you have really high accuracy, you're pinpoint accurate. And it's Call of Duty. It's small maps. Even with a bit of bloom, if your reticle's on their chest, you got them. Battlefield, no, you're like, people are so far away. Dude, I swear, it's like...
I don't know what to tell you, Rick. I dropped
so
over 70
bad.
Kills in a game today. I had
yeah,
because no
you ADS and it sticky aims onto target with your freaking console aim assist, bro. There's so much aim assist in that game.
Jeez,
it's wild.
It's getting Salty's toxic.
Salty's a good look on you.
Do you know what game
it
I think was the worst for
it,
though?
I want it to be
though?
Good. I want Battlefield to be so good, but it's just like... if it's just a gunfight is frustrating, and that's most of the game.
Do you know what game was so bad for that too? And it's one of the reasons why I never covered it and I didn't become a multi-millionaire like all the other people.
Fortnite.
That game made me like, that's literally one of the reasons why I rage quit and like didn't cover that game. There were so many clips where someone's like dead to rights, not even, can't even see the guy. And then he starts shooting at him and it just goes miss. Guy turns around, auto fires, just ding, 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 headshot. Or like someone's flying through the air and they go and laser them and you can see them look at the camera like, uh-oh, that's not supposed to happen. Like all my RNG lined up and got headshots. Uh-huh. And it's like, they're having multi-million dollar tournaments for games like this where your aim can be perfect and you miss. It just misses and there's nothing you can do about it. I cannot imagine losing $3 million to Booga. I'm shooting him in the back and it's just miss. And then he turns around and kills you. Like, I don't know. I think I would honestly consider suing the company. Like, I would look at the footage and be like, I'm on target here. I have him dead to rights. But your algorithm told me that I missed. And I don't accept that. I just don't accept that.
Honestly, yeah.
I want half the prize money, you know. Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah. I hate that mechanic. I hate bloom.
It's probably after dark hours.
We're at after dark. It's RGH after, guys, RGH after dark. So this is where you guys ask us the questions. We'll answer some of your questions. But first, Tash is going to read out some of the donos and a couple of new members, which we thank you for, or returning members.
Yep. We got like $75 in donations. Unfortunately, some of them have disappeared. I can't see them, but I'm going to see if I can go back into this log here and find them. So we got a new membership from, let me see here. We got one today, but it's not showing up. But we did get some super chats today. Andrew Preston with $5. Every studio is releasing crap. Nintendo. Nintendo releases Metroid.
I mean, yeah, they release good games, and then they'll copy strike your entire YouTube channel down if you use their background music by accident. So.
We got a $50 donation from Christopher. Thank you so much. Scott Mitch with a $20. So excited to be here for the live show and not Thursday morning listening. Thank you so much, Scott Mitch, for the $20 donation. Tweedledum with a $5 donation. Thanks for the banging content. Checking in between beers. My guy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. And if you guys are interested in an energy drink, check out Advanced GG. Advanced GG has been our sponsor from the start. They have some amazing flavors. And I think the Rainbow Magic Sherbet just got back in stock. That is a fan favorite. And you can get 10% off with code RGH. Make sure to use code RGH at checkout for that 10% off and to support the podcast. I guarantee if you try it, you're going to like it.
Speaking of drinks, someone asked TV what you're drinking. I started out tonight with a paper plane. A paper plane, it's equal parts bourbon, lemon juice, Aperol, and Amaro Nonino. So basically, Italian herbal liqueurs and bourbon. Real good.
Actually, that just reminded me. Another thing I did want to bring up, because people do ask about TV and his drinking quite a bit while we are on the podcast. We would really appreciate if you did become a member to the channel, because at this point, we can't keep up with his liquor bill. And so that's something that, you know, it is becoming a bit of an issue between the editor and his liquor bill. It's a little tough.
Man, I use TV's the Facebook liquor bill, dollars.
TV's liquor bill is higher than our editor costs, which is actually pretty bizarre. Pretty wild.
It's higher than my mortgage.
You want to know? Here's the secret. I do four ounce recipes. It's small amounts of booze, but it's really good flavor.
Four ounces?
4 ounces of liquor?
4 ounces. Nope, not all of it's liquor. Like I said, lemon juice and some herbals in there. Okay, so it's not all like 100 proof stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's small quantities, big flavor, good recipes. That's the way to do it. And I do all my juicing and make all my syrups. So I make my homemade grenadine with real pomegranates and real pomegranate juice. I make my homemade sugar syrups. I juice lemons, limes, grapefruits.
I bought this cider from the store. I bought it and it came in a can and I drank it and I liked it.
I do my prep work on the weekends. It's great. Someone's asking about Outriders. Yeah, Outriders actually released a free DLC. New Expeditions overhauled the end game grind. They also implemented a transmog system that just embarrasses Destiny's. Imagine if completely for free in Destiny, you could on your hunter be like, I like that warlock helmet. I'm now wearing it. Hey, I kind of like those hunter boots. I'm going to wear them on my Titan. Like, literally anything is fair game. You're like, that exotic looks dope. But I can't equip more than two exotics, or more than one exotic. But I want to look like I have. You can! Like, that's literally, they're like, everything is fair game transmog. Look exactly how you, as long as you've gotten one of those to drop, baby, you look like it.
So, if you haven't played Outriders in a while, I'm probably going to hop back into it before the big Destiny thing, just to try it out. And it's on Game Pass right now, too.
Question. I can't remember. If you want to try the other classes, do you have to make a completely new character?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
I didn't. Yeah.
I, that's why I liked Anthem. I did that. You could just change your javelins up. You could just wear a different suit.
Yeah. Yeah. That was sick.
Too bad the game died and will never be resurrected. Rest.
Rest I feel peace. Like that game had potential, man. I'm so sad they just were like, EA's like, nope, we're not going to. It's like, bro. You made $1 billion from FIFA, like, spend some money on Anthem. Like, you did all this world building. There's some good ideas here. It's like...
It's like, the flying, the suits, the abilities, like, pretty cool, but there was just, like, no enemies. The quests were bad. The story was bad. The end game loop was terrible. It was like, they had all the base mechanics. Beautiful. It was just, there was nowhere to use it properly, and it's such a shame that it's never going to get realized to what it kind of could have been.
Nope. Did you guys see the New World thing that derailed New World's endgame again this weekend?
No, what happened?
A new duplication glitch.
Oh
man, they just can't get a W.
And a guy that is like he's like maxed out crafting, and he like messages, you know, in the chat like, hey, if you want any void metal armor, bring me the materials, I'll build it for you, kind of stuff, right? He got banned, or she, actually, I don't know if it was a, I don't know, I just saw the Twitter name. They got banned, and they're like, for what? And he was like, for duping. And they're like, I didn't do any duping, all I'm doing is crafting. And they're like, yeah, we looked at the logs, and you have profited a bunch and traded with people that were duping. And it's like, I can't control that. I'm crafting for people. They give me resources and I'm crafting for them. I don't know where they got the resources from. And they're banned. And the appeal got shut down. It's like, are you kidding me?
So to answer someone's question, said, Rick, have you played New Worlds? No, I'm not gonna. So, see ya.
It has so much potential too, but like, there's so many big problems.
I'll play it, literally cheat, or you are screwing yourself over. That's where the game's at right now. Like, you either cheat, or you are creating like a huge handicap for yourself.
I want to know how many wars and fights we lost because of cheats, and we just didn't even know it was happening. Like the invulnerability cheats, there was so many invulnerability. There was like five of them that were going around, and just like issues with the perks. Like there's the one perk and it says reduces crit damage, but it actually reduces all incoming damage, and so people were stacking it. And they were impossible to kill because they'd take like 30% less damage than anyone else. You couldn't 1v1 them.
And, thanks, Derek, for the $10 dono.
Yeah, Derek, appreciate it. Is Outriders worth the money?
Probably it's 26 months.
Probably. Dude. Or on Game Pass. Game Pass.
Honestly, try instead of spending $26, just get it on Game Pass, right? Mm-hmm.
Like either get it on Game Pass.
Game Pass is like it's like $1 a month for the first 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, and not only that, Tassie actually gave it his. He was like, I can officially endorse this game now as being worth the price tag. He officially endorsed it yesterday. Actually, saying he looked into the new like end game overhaul. The new DLC is free, by the way. So if you buy the game, you've got the DLC. It really is a lot of content. I'm going to say this. I do not regret a single hour I spent in Outriders, and I spent a lot of time in Outriders. Yep. I enjoyed the story. It wasn't like the greatest story of all time. I mean, it really wasn't like some crazy story, but it was good. It was entertaining. I didn't regret it. I enjoyed the gameplay loop. I enjoyed the loot. I enjoyed the expeditions. I enjoyed grinding for legendary armor sets and playing. I played three different classes in the full release. I played all four of them, and I loved it.
Here's the thing about Outriders. You're going to buy it. You're probably going to have fun leveling your character. You're going to get to the end game. You're going to start doing some crafts. You're going to get some builds together. And then it kind of ends. Like, there's not really, like, too much beyond the final, like, difficulty of the end game. But if you're okay with that, if you're okay with, like, having fun through that entire journey, and then 100 or so hours in, you're like, I'm just done. That's fine. A lot of people went into it expecting it to be the next Destiny and to take up like every waking moment of their life. And it's like, it's not going to do that. It's just like a fun game. If you want to like get it, if you get it like today, let's say now, you can probably play it, get some max level characters, have some fun until the Destiny December update. And you probably stop playing it, get back to Destiny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hamza with a real Gamer Hour sub. Thank you so much. One thing I wanted to address. DMR said, do you guys believe that Battlefield 2042 currently has staying power in its current state? And, you know, I want to talk about that. Even if it's not in the current state, I'm not sure it has staying power. And I'm not sure if Halo has staying power because there's a trend I'm noticing. If the game does not have overwhelming God-tier support from the start, all the streamers go back to their old game. As soon as their sponsorship's done, they go back to their old game and they go back to Warzone or they go back to Fortnite. Halo just dropped. Ninja is known as a Halo guy. He was playing Fortnite today. And now Fortnite did drop some stuff, but the issue is a lot of the big content creators and even just a lot of people, they get comfortable where they're at. And so when you're getting paid to play a certain game or you've got an audience there, you don't want to swap. And so you're not advertising this new game unless you're getting paid to do it in a lot of cases.
The viewers, you guys, are absolutely shit at supporting creators for doing new stuff sometimes. Like, fair, if I put out like a Battlefield video, it's like 16,000 views. I'm like, all right, never doing that again, right? True.
But also, a lot of these games you are really invested in. You know, you've put hundreds of hours into a game, and it's like, well, sure, I'm good at this game, or I like this game, and I'm making progress in this game. I don't want to start a new game and start all over again. And so, unless it is an overwhelming reception, like when Genshin came out, everyone was playing Genshin, even if they weren't covering it. Lupo was playing it. Pokimane was playing it. Like, it was so big, and it still has staying power, because I feel like if it gets that initial hype, then you get a community going, and you get that staying power long term. Because
I actually disagree with you guys on this.
You disagree?
Yeah. I didn't say anything.
I think you place a little too much emphasis on creator influence, content creator influence. Now, those things do matter. They mm-hmm. absolutely do matter. I'm not going to undersell that. But at the end of the day, I know that for me, I think about my personal gaming time when I'm not actively making content. Yes, I make Destiny content. Why? It pays my bills. It's funding my retirement. It's sending my kids to college one day. That's why I do Destiny. I also love it. I mean, I have fun with it. But in my personal gaming time, I play games that I watch zero content creators for. Mm-hmm. I play Back 4 Blood all the time. You know how many content creators I know off the top of my head who play Back 4 Blood? None. I couldn't name a single one. Yeah. I'm playing in my downtime, my own time. I play Sea of Thieves. I couldn't name a single... Other than Summit was doing it back in the day, other than that, I couldn't tell you a single person that plays that game on stream or makes content on it. I don't watch that stuff. It's all stuff that I do because me and my buds have fun doing it. And I think that's why Battlefield has staying power, because Portal exists, and the people who loved old school Battlefield are going to love Portal. Being able to play on Noshar Canals, being able to play on Caspian Border, playing Rush, playing Conquest, playing on completely overhauled and updated Bad Company 2 maps, they're going to show up for that. And they're not going to be sitting down at work watching somebody stream it. They just don't care.
I think,
just like I don't care.
I think you're both right in a sense that, because first of all, I didn't side with MTash. I'm just saying I think you're both a little bit right in the sense that MTash is right in the sense that I think you need the creators to become like the next Fortnite. Like the game that just takes over the world, right? Or like Call of Duty Warzone, everyone was playing that game, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like you don't always need to be that popular. Look at Destiny 2. We always talk about who craps on Destiny 2? The mainstream streamers. Like you ask Dr. Disrespect, are you gonna play Destiny 2? Oh, that game's still alive? That game's dead, right? But Destiny 2 has a completely solid player base. It's not going anywhere. Right. So I think the same is with Battlefield. I don't think Battlefield is necessarily going to become the game that takes over the gaming world, but it's going to have a solid player base for the next several years until whenever they make the next Battlefield.
But. Agreed. And I'm not saying that you need all the streamers, but the issue is, like, you need everyone to be on board. It's like the best way I gauge if a game is popular is if the people that I played hockey with are playing the game. Like, if my buddy TJ is playing Halo, I'm like, okay, that game is going to be popular. Because he only plays, like, one game. And, like, if my cousin Dean is playing a Destiny expansion, I know that everyone is. Because he skips a lot of expansions. And then, so if he's back, it's like, okay. And so I feel like with a lot of these games, if you don't have, like, the streamers covering it, and then all the normie people jumping on that bandwagon, if it doesn't have that initial burst, the community just never forms, if that makes sense. Like, it'll be a hot ticket item for maybe a month, but it doesn't have that first, like, oomph that everyone gets involved with it and, like, invested in it, is what I would say. It's like a flavor of the week. And I feel
It's hard to get invested when Call of Duty, Battlefield, and Halo all released in, like, the same month, it feels like.
For sure. What are you going to say about Destiny?
Destiny was, in terms of reviews, a flop on launch. But it made millions of dollars. Gained Bungie massive revenue. They doubled their studio size. Got major investors. They dropped Destiny 2, which was a flop via the reviews on launch. And look where it is now. I mean, it's not
It was a flop of a game, though. It was trash.
But you're asking the question, what game was received poorly on launch and still has staying power? Millions and millions in revenue.
But this, like, what other game did that? Like, maybe Division 2 is still chugging along, barely.
I guess that's the thing, too, is, like, Destiny is not the same game as, like, Call of Duty. And so they'll gravitate to whatever's best. So it's like, is Battlefield better than Warzone? Yes? All right, maybe we'll stay. If it isn't, we'll just go to what we know. If you don't want to play Destiny, what do you play? Warframe? What is the alternative?
Yeah.
What other first-person looter shooter? Borderlands, that had a terrible launch as well? They've had some updates, for sure. But you can't do missions together and raids together the way you can in Destiny and then go play some PvP? Mm. I don't know. I just feel like...
We'll see what happens, like, especially, it's weird, like, you're right. Maybe Halo doesn't take off now, right? Maybe it doesn't. But then when Forge is added and it was like people like that Vanos Gaming or whatever, and people that just like, and Russian Badger, and like those people who just like get more views than I could ever dream of by just having their buddies be funny. And they just all, you know what I mean? They like, where are you guys playing with me? But like, no, like they play and they make those funny videos and get 5 million views a video. And it's like, and everyone's watching like Forge mode. Maybe that brings people back, right? Like, yeah. You just never know. There's a huge features of the game in Halo that aren't here yet. And Battlefield only had like a half a launch. The real launch is on Friday. Which is so weird to me.
True. And you know, honestly, maybe there's like so many players that are MIA right now because they're not playing Early Access.
Dude, I have just amateur guy in here in the chat. You know, I was like, spend the extra $2 for, you know, $5 on the deluxe edition so you can play with us. He's like, nope, I gave it all to Pokimane. No, I'm just kidding. No, but he's one of those. He's like, eh. He's like, am I gonna pay the extra? Because I think the deluxe edition came with like the battle passes for like the seasons or whatever. I don't know. But the point is, I think there is a lot of people who just bought the normal editions and they're gonna be hopping on Friday. And like TV said, hopefully they're gonna be hopping onto a better experience. And a less blooming experience, if please, like, just dial it back a little bit, DICE. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Fair. Well, this has been about an hour and a half. Do you have any other major things you guys want to hit before we say goodbye for the day?
No, just thank you to all the people who dropped resubs. We got Falcon Arrow, Another Average Gamer, Turner. Hey, appreciate your memberships. Hansa with the fresh membership. Really appreciate your support, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. 14 months on that one. That's amazing. From
which is like, this guy watched 14 months of us ranting about Twitch and was like, I'll keep supporting them.
I like this.
I like this.
Yeah, this is amazing. I feel like Pokimane.
I'd like to think he just shows up because of my drink recipes, though. I think that's true. Really the selling
He's
point.
Actually, it's he realized like $5 a month with us is basically like, you know, worth it in drink recipe books. So he just gets free drink recipes from
That's
TV.
Right. That's right.
Like once a week.
Yeah. When are you going to drop the recipe book as like a collectible?
I don't know. I'm holding out.
He'll never be sober enough.
Sober.
Enough
I'm not the one slurring my words.
He'll never be sober long enough to write the dang book. That's the problem.
Hey, sober enough to drop 70 more kills than you can in a Battlefield game.
Sheesh, get wrecked, you Bloom baby.
Right. Ooh, yeah.
Too much
what?
Bloom.
I think I'm just about to unlock the PP 2000. Once I get that, I'm gaming. But right now, I can't hit the broadside of a barn, dude. I'm just like putting rounds in my teammates' backs and like trees. Every tree has got a million holes in it from me. Like,
this seems like
bad.
A you issue, man. Post a clip when you get the new SMG and then we'll go from
there. Okay, yeah, sure.
Thank you so much for watching. That's it. This has been episode number 61. 62 will be next week on Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. We do it every Wednesday. Make sure to follow if you haven't already. Thanks so much for the support. I'm MTashed.
I'm Kakus HD.
I'm True Vanguard.
This is The Real Gamer Hour. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
See ya.